The U.S. Supreme Court tackles a question today involving government's ability to plan development and regulate the environment. The question is whether government must compensate property owners when there is a temporary moratorium on development. The test case involves property that surrounds Lake Tahoe, the crown jewel of the Sierra Nevada mountain range. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Mark Twain once described Lake Tahoe as a noble sheet of blue water lifted 6,000 feet above the level of the sea, with the shadows of the mountains brilliantly photographed upon its still surface. Tahoe, ringed by snow-capped mountains, is the largest alpine lake in the world, with an average depth of 1,000 feet. It stretches over 192 square miles and contains enough water to flood the state of California to a depth of 14 inches. But its special beauty is the amazing clarity of its cobalt waters, so pristine because of the very low concentrations of sediments and other contaminants. What also distinguishes Tahoe is that, unlike most lakes, which can self-purify as fresh water flows in and contaminated water flows out, the amount of water entering Tahoe is so minuscule that if the lake were drained, it would take 700 years to be refilled. The lake, a resort and recreation area as early as the 1800s, took a dramatic turn after the 1960 Olympics in Tahoe, the first to be televised. Within a decade, a development boom was in full swing. By 1980, despite multi-state efforts to curb foul runoff into the lake, pollution was in full swing, too. With the deterioration of the lake's water at a crisis point, California and Nevada, with the official blessing of Congress, entered into an agreement to adopt whatever regulations were necessary to preserve the Blue Tahoe waters. To give themselves time to establish a plan, the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency adopted a 3-year moratorium on all development. To hundreds of the landowners who had planned to build, the moratorium was an outrage, especially when coupled with the eventual plan that was adopted limiting development. Kenneth and Betty Eberle, for instance, bought their property in 1977 for $8,500 and today cannot build on the two plots of land they once planned to use as a vacation or retirement home.
Basically, they're worthless. If you can't build on them, you can't camp on them, you can't do anything with them. We can't sell them. If they were buildable, they're probably worth, maybe together, about $300,000.
The Eberles and other landowners challenged all of the Tahoe Planning Agency's actions in court, losing in each case. They appealed all these lower court losses to the Supreme Court, which agreed to hear just one issue: whether the 3-year moratorium constituted a taking of the property owner's land for which they deserve to be paid. Betty Eberle puts it this way.
We pay good money for that. We worked hard for that money, and they should be willing to compensate us for the land if that's what they want to do with it.
The Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, however, contends that nothing has been taken, that some lots can be built on if certain criteria are met. The agency developed a point system which allows owners to sell their criteria points for profit if they don't have enough to build themselves. In addition, lots can be sold to the Forestry Service for at least as much as was originally paid for the land. But most of all, the agency says, there is nothing wrong with a temporary moratorium such as this one. John Roberts will make that case in the Supreme Court today.
There was a rush to develop. People knew some restrictions are coming in. So everybody was trying to get their home on the hillside or on the shore built before the restrictions kicked in. And the agency said, let's call a timeout. Let's let everybody participate and develop this new plan, and then we'll move forward in a rational way rather than through some chaotic race to develop.
Roberts contends that temporary moratoriums are really no different than a requirement for a building permit.
If you want to build a house almost anywhere, you've got to get a building permit. And that takes time, sometimes a lot of time.
Here, it took 3 years, he says, because of the scientific and political complexities.
The science was very difficult. Under the Interstate Compact, the agency had to come up with so-called environmental thresholds covering a broad range of areas, not just development, but issues like air quality and the like. Second of all, you're dealing with a lot of jurisdictions, the state of California, the state of Nevada, the federal government, the 5 different counties. Third, the stakes are very high. You wanted to make sure you got it right. A mistake and Lake Tahoe's ruined for at least 700 years.
Then pay for the land, responds Michael Berger, representing the property owners.
If the issue is that important and it involves that many serious issues, or serious questions, then it becomes a matter of public importance, and it becomes a matter for the public to finance, not just a few selected individuals.
It's not like a building permit, he argues, because there was no process leading to permission to develop. Regardless, he contends, any temporary moratorium on development is per se a taking of land.
If the period is small enough and the impact on the owner is small enough, nobody's going to sue as a practical matter. The economics will take care of that. But when you get into situations where you have multiple years of absolutely nothing that they can do with their land, then I think you've got a very different situation.
Nor would it matter if the government forbade development on the land because it would foul the water to the point of posing a health risk. In either case, Berger contends, the owners would have to be compensated.
I don't see that there's any difference from a constitutional legal standpoint. The Constitution commands compensation.
The Tahoe Agency's John Roberts calls that argument extreme.
The consequence would be devastating because the logical implications of that theory is that it doesn't depend on how long. Not whether it's 32 months, 6 months, 1 day. You hold up the development for 1 day because the permit writer has a dentist appointment. Under their theory, you owe compensation for that 1 day of taking. Local government wouldn't be able to function, and it certainly wouldn't be able to develop land use plans of the high quality that were developed in this case.
Thus, the ripple effect of the court's eventual ruling in the Tahoe case could be enormous. And the Bush administration, dominated by property rights advocates, has in this case weighed in against the property owners and in support of temporary moratoriums on development. The landowners know theirs is an uphill battle. Many of the remaining owners, like Kenneth Eberle, have turned down what they call pitiful offers to sell and continue to pay taxes on their land.
I suppose because in a way I'm a little bit of a gambler, because I love the property, because I keep always thinking there's some hope. I may die still owning it. But I, like I say, I don't give up easy. I'm kind of a fighter.
By summer, the Supreme Court will tell him whether the fight has been worth it. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.